Good morning, everybody. Hope you're feeling loved and blessed. Our God is so good, and just to know His love is the best thing in life. I'm off to Nepal tomorrow, so I appreciate your prayers. That country's obviously suffered a lot this year with earthquakes, and now also, they're also suffering because of the border's been blockaded by Hindu nationalists who are frustrated that they've declared Nepal to be a country of free religion. In other words, you can choose what you want to believe, which we think is a good thing, but some of them think it's a bad thing. They want it to continue to be a Hindu nation, and they've just ratified their constitution and said it is a kingdom of freedom. But some people have been upset about that. They've been blockading goods from coming in through India, which is the main artery into Nepal, so they're suffering an awful lot. Lack of fuel, lack of food, and so, you know, it's just a bit rubbish. So I appreciate your prayers for that, and hopefully we can bring some hope and some joy and some peace there. Work with Jesus. Good. Powerful people. When I look out over this congregation, that's what I see. Powerful people. We've already done 2 weeks. We've done glorious freedom, and we are gloriously free because we know we're loved. We're gloriously free because we know that God is good. And we also did another one on compelling love. The love that compels. So this is what our values lead us to. They lead us to glorious freedom. They lead us to being compelled by love, and they lead us into being people of power. And this morning, you know, that's really what I want to help us to know. And this is something which I think probably we all want, actually, isn't it? If we're honest, as Christians, if you read the Gospels, you see Jesus was an incredible man who did and said amazing things, and he also promised that we would do and say more than he did, which is a bit mind-boggling. And we want the reality of that, don't we? You know, and I want the reality of that. And the truth is, I'm on a journey into that, and I keep needing to push into it. So when I knew I was doing a talk on it, I thought, I better push into this. You know, because it's with the business of life, sometimes, you know, there's lots of reasons why you don't actually decide not to do something, but actually, by default, you end up not doing it. Just because there are other things that you can fill your time with. So on Friday, I had lots of things I could have done, but I decided to go and visit the sick and pray. Just because I felt like, actually, there are people that can't get out of their homes because they're sick. I need to go and pray for them. If I believe that God has anointed his people to go and bring healing, naturally, that's what we've got to do. So that's what I did. And I feel like I felt the Holy Spirit, even as I was driving to that first appointment, say, Colin, you should do this more often. I felt, I know I need to carve out space in my diary just to do this. Even if I put in diary on a weekly basis, this is time to pray for the sick. Because God loves to heal. He loves to heal. And the truth is, guys, you know, for me, I say this in front of you, and I've prayed for hundreds or thousands of people and seen some amazing healings. But I've also had a lot of disappointment and seen people die I've prayed for, and people carry on being in pain that I've prayed for. And so that's a really hard thing to wrestle with and to walk into. But this morning, I want us to somehow to get glimpse some things which have helped me on my journey to keep going and not to give up. And I think if you grab hold of them, they will help you to really push in to the wonderful gifts that we have, the power that is available to us in Christ. That sound good? Just to whet your appetite so you know that it's just not talk, because talk is cheap. I said I went to do some visits, and I visited one lady who was bedridden and has been for weeks. She'd been in pain for a lot longer than that. And I thought, oh dear, what do I do in this situation? You know, I'm just going to speak out what I feel, because that's all you can do. At the end of the day, you know, we live in a relationship with our God. There's not a rule. I can't just go and the Bible says, let anoint them with oil and they'll be healed. It does. But, you know, This is not something which is like mechanical, that we can just do, obey the rules and it works. This is about a walk of faith. This is about a walk of faith, and faith means taking a risk. It means actually believing that God speaks to us, daring to believe that we have the mind of Christ, daring to believe actually the God in heaven, the Father who loves us all, is actually moving and operating. And so I just said to her, I believe this is, peace is being released to you today. Kerry knows that this is something that God has spoken to me about since the day I took on leadership of Maidenhead Church. Tell them their warfare has ended. Tell my people their warfare has ended, that peace is coming. And release peace, prophesy peace, speak peace. And so that's what I did. I told her warfare ended, that peace is coming, and that today was going to be a new day. And I said, how do you feel? She said, well, you know, I did feel it. She said, I felt quite refreshed, like I had a breath of fresh air, like the window had been opened when you were praying for me. But that's all. And I thought, oh, that's good. You celebrate the small things. You celebrate the small things. Well, yesterday morning, I got an email from her. And it says, hi, Colin, just a thank you. And the headline is, today is a new day. Just a thank you and encourage you. This morning, I've woken up with no specific pain areas in my body. I have some flu pain, some kind of like general pain, and a little bit of a headache, but no specific pain in my hips, legs, or neck. This is the first time in many months that this has been the case. Come on. I made it downstairs for the first time in weeks, too. And my husband's going to take me out for a walk later. You know, that isn't that amazing? And I know that our God loves to do this kind of thing. And I know he loves to do it through you, through me. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to do more of it. Okay, does that sound good? So these values are not, they're not just pretty things. It's not gold, it's not a pretty color. It sounds nice, easy to remember. But actually, if we really do weave this gold, these gold values into everything we are and do, they bear fruit in our lives. Goodness, openness, love, dynamic power. We've covered goodness, and we know that God hates suffering. Jesus said so. He demonstrated it. And in the end, we know there'll be no more pain. Just covering over some old slides for those that weren't here the past few weeks. So because we know that God is good, we can adventure in faith. We can step out. We can really take risks because we know that God is with us. He's not looking to beat us up. He's actually looking to do something special with us and through us, and to bless everyone that we meet. It is all about love, and love shapes us. And the truth is that we all become more and more like the people we choose to love. And I pointed out how psychotherapists are now coming to the same conclusions as that. Love is a very powerful force. You know, we learned that the earth is damaged, that there are spiritual forces that oppose us, and that men hurt one another. But the overriding thing that we know is that God is with us, and God is bigger than all of those problems. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear. Let those words just sink into your heart again this morning. Don't worry, I'm with you. Told the story of Jonah, the dove, and how God was moved by men crying out in pain, that God changed his mind about the disaster he was going to bring on that city. God had pity on that people, even though they were the most violent people of their day. When they repented, when they actually started to recognize some of the things they were doing wrong, he had pity on them, had mercy on them. And Jonah was really angry because he said, I knew that you were always gracious and kind and wanting to change, and you change your mind. This is not a one-off thing. This is right at the heart of God, that his prophets, those who know him, know that he just loves to be merciful. He's full of love, even for the most wicked on the planet. And this love that we come to know that God is compels us to go out and love this world. And the more we know the love of God, the more like him we become, and the more, if we just can't keep it to ourselves, we just have to let it go and to love everyone that we meet. Yes. So we have these goal values, and O is the key. The openness, the freedom is the key, because the O, knowing that God is relational and gives us freedom, means that we love him more and compels us to love others more. The O in front of the goodness of God means we go, means we adventure, means we step out in faith, because actually we're confident that God is with us and he's good, not looking to harm us, but protect us and bring good things to us and through us. We can adventure. You know, I hear people sometimes say, I can't step up for God. If I step up, I might get my head shot. You know, put my head over the parapet, the enemy's going to have a shot at me. It's rubbish. You know, the safe place we can be is in the will of God. And God says, go. Get out of the fortress. Go. Go and take some risks. That's the safest thing we can do. And this is what we're looking at today. Do. Not do. Don't. Do. Because knowing that God is open, that he's free, that actually he's looking to do good things for us, enables us to take risks when we prophesy and when we lay hands on the sick and when we seek to serve our communities, to love people, we can actually believe that he's actually going to use us to do his work. So, God is dynamic. He's actively working in all things. Romans 8:28 tells us that. Hallelujah. God. Yes, God as well, yes. You know, Romans 8:28 really is a verse we all need to carry around in our hearts. I mean, you need to carry around the whole Bible in your hearts. You know, that's why we need to read it every day. not as a law thing, not as a heavy thing, but just because it's good for us. I have Weetabix every day, that's good for me. My kids always make fun of me for that. But Romans 8:28 tells us that God is actively at work in all things. He's not one of these distant gods that created the world and then just set it in motion and then let it go. And because there's so much pain and suffering, we can sometimes think that, but that is far from the truth. Look at this. There's a lot of words there, guys, okay? But that's the same verse in three different versions of the Bible. The first one, the NIV, says this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, what's the problem with that translation for you? Is there any problem, or is that good? Huh? It's good. Anybody see a problem with that? Ah, why is that, Richard? Yeah, even the pagans do that, don't they? That's what Jesus said. And there's a hint of that in this verse. God's working for the good of those who love him. But what about the rest? Is he not caring about them? But we know the story of Jonah tells us he deeply does. And then, in fact, he called one of his own people to go and bless that town. What about the next verse? We know that in all things, this is the New King James Version, the one I tend to read a lot. We know that in all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Slightly better, isn't it? All things work together for good to those who love God. Again, there's that difference. And it's kind of taking God out of it a bit, because actually this is all things working together, but I guess the implication is that he's actually still doing that work. But then we get to the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, and look what this says. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. How much life is released in that translation of this verse? How much more glory-filled is that verse when you read it this way? I would that we would all cross out that verse in our own versions and write the RSV in. Because in that, our God comes across wonderful. He comes across as someone who cares for everybody and also willing to work with us to bring good in all things. How fantastic is that? This is the version of that verse we need to carry in our hearts from day to day, from moment to moment. In everything, all things, God is working together for good with those who love him. And that, you know, there's a Greek word in there called synergo, which actually means working together. So God, yeah, the argument is whether it's the things that are working together, whether it's God working together. But things don't work together, do they? Do they? Do things work together? Not really. It's actually people, spirits that work together. So it's God working together with people. Really, it's the best sense of this translation, and it releases the most life. So, you know, I just wanted us to get our heads around that. And if we really, really get our heads around that, it blows our minds. God is working in all things together with those who love him for good. We need to carry that, guys. We need to carry that. How can we work with God? God's so big and we're so small. You know, there's pictures of what the suns might look like at different places. Arcturus, Pollux, Sirius. That small brown dot on the left is actually our sun in comparison to some of the other suns. And you think that the Earth, in comparison to our sun, is even smaller. You know, there's a bit of insignificance when we compare ourselves to God, and what can we do to help this almighty, infinite God? You know, what can we do? Why does God need our help? Does he need our help? Good questions. Well, I want to show that actually, if we understand authority, if we receive love and walk in faith, we can really work with him. Authority, when you hear that word, I don't know what things spring to your mind, but sometimes quite negative things spring to my mind when I hear that word. Authority, oh dear. Because authorities can be quite harsh. They can be unforgiving, unbending. I've got to come under authority. And authorities can be harsh. It's true. They can be harsh. If authority is wielded harshly, it's harsh. But also authorities could be brilliant. They can release a whole lot of life. Our local authority is there to serve us, to release life to our locality. That's what it's there for. Now, we have been given authority, the Bible tells us, over this planet. When God made it, he said, this is yours. Be fruitful, multiply, fill it, subdue it, rule over it. Those were his words. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Those words are there. He gave us authority to kind of rule it in his name. And then, of course, you know the sad story that we gave that authority away. We started listening to someone else, actually doing what they said. And when you start doing what other people tell you to do, actually, you're submitting to their authority. So we submitted to another authority. We had the authority, but we gave it away. And the Bible tells us that was the snake, of course, and we know the snake is the devil, the slanderer, the accuser. But the fact is, Jesus won it back. That's why it was so important that he was a man. That God left behind all his godliness and actually became a man. So that man could win authority back from the usurper. So that when that snake came to him again in the wilderness and said, if you're the Son of God, bow down and worship me. He was able to say, no, I trust my Father. I don't need you. When the snake said to him, worship me and I'll give you all the glory of the earth. He said, no, I don't need you to do that. My Father's going to give it to me. I'm going to worship him only. And in doing that, he wrestled back authority for man. Man was no longer listening to the usurper. And so when he's resurrected from the dead, because death couldn't hold him, there was no claim on him, he's able to say in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's incredible. All authority is on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And he then gives us authority to serve and to bless. Now, if you understand what he meant when he said that, all authority has been given to me, then go and make disciples, teaching them to do everything that I've taught you. Now, what did he do? What authority did Jesus receive? And what did he pass on? Well, if you read Luke chapter 4, this is his calling that he believes that he steps out into when he begins his ministry. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to bring blessings of every kind. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, given authority by God, in other words, to do. And he went around demonstrating that, didn't he? Driving out demons, healing the sick, preaching good news, welcoming sinners, welcoming people that are screwed up, that were in bondage, left, right, and center. He set them free. He did it. He demonstrated it. And then, later on in Luke, verse 9, 1 to 2, he then says to his disciples, right now, I'm giving you authority. You go out and heal. You go out and proclaim the good news. I'm giving you that authority. The exact words are, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Amazing. He gave them that authority. Just restoring to them what was rightfully theirs, we lost in Eden. Take it back now. But then, a few weeks, months, maybe a year later, he then calls 72 people and gives them exactly the same authority to go out and heal and proclaim the good news. So when he says in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've told you, to do everything I've told you, is to do this. It's to go out and to preach the good news and to heal the sick, to actually be bold in stepping out, knowing that God is with us, to bring the kingdom of heaven. Authority correctly passed on. We now, as believers in Jesus, are given authority to walk in these things. Now, who knows that authority is not easy to carry? Anybody here know that? I'm glad there's one or two of you. I mean, you just have to look at natural things to know that. Natural authority is difficult to walk into. Spiritual authority is also difficult to walk into. A police officer, a rookie police officer, 20 years old or something, out of police college, you know, there's a riot happening in Maidenhead. You say, would you send him in, Sid, would you? You would. Wait, you're a brave man. The thing is, would the rookie police officer be able to stop the riot? The answer is, he should be able to. Often, he's not able to because he's not learned to walk in the authority that he has. The whole authority of the kingdom of the United Kingdom backs him up. The Queen, the law courts, the police force, the army, everything backs him up in what he's saying. He should be able to walk in complete authority and bring peace and order. But a rookie can't sometimes even bring order to a party, keep the noise down, even though he's got the badge and the uniform. Whereas a seasoned officer goes into a city, he just knows how to carry. He just carries it. He's used to carrying it. He walks in and brings order almost straight away. He knows what works and what doesn't. It's the same with spiritual authority, guys. We often carry huge authority. We have the badge and the uniform as ambassadors of Christ. We need to learn to walk in that. I need to learn to walk in that. Okay. One of the things about authority, which is beautiful, is authority only comes through submission. I love that because it means that proud people don't walk in it very easily. Or not at all. I love the fact that actually authority comes more often to humble people, people that don't think they're worthy, people that can think of reasons why they shouldn't carry it. Come on, can you feel your heart stirring? Authority comes to those who submit because authority is given from someone. We submit to their authority and we receive authority in return. The question is, how submitted are we in our lives to authority, to the authority of God? How submitted are we? If we're in rebellion, if we're lying, if we go around lying, you know, not paying our taxes, cheating or whatever, cheating on our wife, if we're fantasizing about how we can get our own way and still keep it hidden from other people, we're not walking in submission. It's difficult to walk in authority then. We can't even hide ourselves, so we know. And the spiritual authority is harder to walk in. So let's submit to authority over our lives and receive more authority. The next thing that helps me to learn to walk in it, this thing, is to know that love has to be received. Now, we talk about the five love languages. We talk about quality time, gifts, touch, words, and service. But the truth is that these things have to be received. Love is never a one-way street. You know, I can love you, but unless you allow me to love you, it will never work. You can love me, but unless I allow you to love me, it's no good. It has no effect. Quality time must be wanted if we're going to spend time with the other person. If we don't, then we won't be able to. Gifts have to be received and accepted. Touch must be wanted. Otherwise, it's invasive. It's almost it's the opposite of love if it's not wanted and we touch. Words must be valued if they're to bear any fruit in our lives. To love and respect the person who's speaking to us. And service must be appreciated. You know, and God, the truth is, God wants to love every one of us in all of these five ways. And yet, so often we put up stumbling blocks. We put up barriers. And you know, for me, Sadie and I foster, and children can come into our home. And you need to know that our desire is to love those kids. We want to lavish love on them. We want to buy them gifts. We want to buy them what they really would like to have. We want to spoil them sometimes. We want to take them to places they want to go. We want to spend time with them, get to know their hearts, draw out the treasures, the deep things of their heart. We want to really know what's going on and have quality time with them. We want to serve them. We want to cook for them and clean for them and take them to places. You know, we want to do all these things. We want to give them hugs to show that we care. But actually, they set the boundaries. And often, my heart is grieved. But I don't hug them if they don't want to hug. You know what I like, what I'm like. I probably hug some of you when you don't want to hug. I'm sorry about that. You're always free to tell me to stop. You know that, don't you? But I am a hugger. So you've got to beware. But, you know, we do the same with God. That's what I'm saying. God is wanting to love every one of us. He's also wanting to love through us. The question is, how much are we allowing that? You know, Jesus said, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, over Jerusalem, how often I've wanted to gather your children like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. How often I wanted to really care for you and love you, but you weren't willing. I couldn't do it. Amazing. Stunning. That our God is so gentle and humble that he stands at the door and knocks and waits to be invited in when he knows that it's the best thing in the world that for our lives for him to barge his way right in and to just clean up. But he waits, because love always waits to be asked, doesn't force. Just incredible, astounding, unbelievably good our God is. So he asks us to love the world through for him. When we give others time, when we give others gifts, when we touch people, when we give them hugs, when we speak life into them, when we release the words that bring hope and life and peace to them. When we serve our community, when we go to places and serve them, put on meals for them, entertain them, when we serve them, visit the lonely, visit the sick. When we do these things, we are loving in the name of Jesus. This is what he's asking us to do, to be his hands and his feet. And so we get to the final bit. You know, this is what it's all about. That is all the backdrop which enables us to really walk in faith. And you've heard these verses quoted many times, but these are verses of the Bible again we need to carry in our hearts. You know, the Old Testament said you're going to write them down and put them on your forehead and on your wrists so that you can see them and remind yourself of them. We need to carry these in our heart so they become part of who we are. These are verses that I carry around in my heart, which enables me to do what I did on Friday. It's not my title, church leader, that helps me to go and do what I did on Friday. That helps a bit, but actually what helps are these verses. Really. So 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord are roving to and fro throughout the earth. I don't need to look it up because I carry it. The eyes of the Lord are roving to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those in whom he can show himself strong. He's looking for someone who's prepared to love. He's looking for a body. He's looking for someone like Isaiah to put their hands up and say, here I am, send me. I'll go. He's not looking for a perfect body. He's not looking for a faultless body. It's all been done by Jesus. We're already perfect and faultless because the blood of Jesus covers us. No blame, no judgment, just blessing, just love. Who will go for me? I love that picture of Isaiah when he sees the Lord high and lifted up because he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips among the people of unclean lips. I'm so dirty. And then the angel carries a burning coal and touches his lips. He doesn't do anything, but the angel carries it, says, you're pure now. You've been cleansed. We've been cleansed by Jesus. He's our burning coal. Amos 3:7, it says, the Lord does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. One of the most outrageous verses in the Bible. Really outrageous. God does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. He does nothing. Because if he's given us his earth, he does nothing unless he can work in partnership with us on it. That's outrageous. And yet it's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. I carry it around. And then in John chapter 14 and 15, three times it says, you will ask the Father and he'll do whatever you want in my name. Three times. Jesus is wanting to communicate some of the most important things in his last few moments on earth before he's taken from them. One of the most important things he wants them to know is, just keep asking in my name. I'm not going to be around. Ask in my name. The Father will do these things for you. Because the favor of God rests on you, because you're my children. Wow. To learn to walk in the favor of heaven, to know that we are loved by him, his love is lavished on us, that he's listening to us and willing to do whatever we ask. That is incredible. And so, guys, this is a journey of desire. What do I mean by that? It's a journey because we have to walk into it. You know, my journey started by someone praying for me to have a headache healed when I was a best man at a wedding. And I used to carry around painkillers. But my best friend at the time prayed for me and said, I'll have a word with him upstairs. And 10 minutes later, my headache went. That gave me the boldness to then pray for myself whenever I got a headache instead of taking tablets. And every time, my headaches would go. And then I started to pray for other people with headaches. Thinking, well, I know God can take away headaches because you've done it for me. Let me pray for your headache. A young guy said to me, wow, that's the first time in me going to ever gone without painkillers, without me lying down in a darkened room for a couple of hours. I said, that's Jesus. He said, no, it's just a coincidence. But you get the sense of journey. The sense of journey. My journey is a long journey. I pray that yours will be quicker than mine. You know, I had to learn to hear God. Stumbling over hearing God, believing that God was really speaking to me, praying for those who were infertile, seeing them have kids, learning about authority, learning to what it is actually the authority that we have to heal, not to ask God to heal, but actually to speak healing and to declare healing in his name, because he's given us that authority, not asking him to do it, but actually bringing it, then going on mission and having it dragged more out of you, learning to prophesy in the same way. Seeing anorexia, OCD, depression healed in the name of Jesus instantly. Fantastic. Seeing back pain go in the name of Jesus and having a lady say to me, you know, I don't believe that in healing. I said, don't worry, let my faith be sufficient. I'll pray for your back. Praying for her. And a few minutes later saying, it's worked. Calling all her neighbors and friends around to say, you must come and hear these guys because actually my back was healed. This is just amazing. And I don't see it every day. I'm telling you the highlights of 20 years. Ridiculous. What a poor offering. This is not to big myself up. This is just to encourage us to push in. Because God is releasing a people of power. I like that firework thing that Ben did earlier. Because God wants some big fireworks in this town. He doesn't want small fireworks. He doesn't want sparklers. He wants the big, loud bangs. People that are going to pay the price to get the big, loud bangs. People that are going to step out believing that he is who he says he is and he will do what he said he will do. I want to lead us into that. And I want to be taking risks for you and with you in seeing God do more. Amen? Amen? So this year, you know, I've seen arthritis healed from a 70-year-old man. It's amazing. He's got other things wrong with him now. No, but he went camping and he said, I've got no pain. He said, no, I'm healed. Hallelujah. I've seen whiplash totally healed instantly. The woman carried it for 9-10 months. This lady I prayed for on Friday, fibromyalgia, keeping her bedridden for months. You know, in the name of Jesus, it's a new day. We carry that, guys. All of us carry that. Some of us are gifted at it. Some of us have special gifts of healing, the Bible says, given by His Holy Spirit. But God is wanting, looking to show Himself strong in delivering, in blessing, in binding up, in healing, in mending, in setting free. He's looking to show Himself strong in all of those things. All He's saying is, who will go for me? Who will go for me? So you know what I'm doing now, don't you, as I come to an end? I'm just echoing the call. Because my Father is standing right here now. He's speaking to us, and He's speaking with my voice, okay? But you can ignore that, because my voice is not as good as His. But what He's saying is, who will go for me? Who's going to go and do the things I've asked them to do? Who's going to be daring enough to believe that I'm actually going to heal the sick through you? That I'm actually going to prophesy good things into people's lives through you? Actually going to release peace and favor and joy and blessing? Who's going to believe like Abraham that through you the whole world could be blessed? What a crazy thing to believe. He was mad, that man. And yet I'm walking in his footsteps. Come on, let's walk in the footsteps of Abraham and Jesus, who modeled it so brilliantly for us. And in our frustrations, when it doesn't always go the way, and we just keep learning, treat everything as a learning exercise and celebrate the victories. And don't get down on ourselves if we don't see the victory, but just learn. Amen? So this is what our Father's saying, guys. He's saying, who will go for me? Who will I send? And everybody could respond to this, and if you do, then that's great. Or you could, but there may be some with a special, their heart thumping as they hear this, because I know that Father said in the prayer meeting before that actually He wants to release people today to walk in authority in a way they never thought they were able to do. They felt disqualified from. To walk in love and power. To see the kingdom of God come through them, to know that they are a thin point, a place where heaven touches earth. If your heart is really resonating with this and wanting to respond and actually take steps of faith this week, then please do stand now. I pray for you. Richard, you stood really quickly, mate. The Father says, my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. This body is the perfect instrument for me to be glorified in. And actually, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. And know that Father loves you and is for you and with you. And His favor rests on you to do the things that He's asked you to do. So there's a new favor coming on you, Richard, a new belief coming on you to walk in these things. I declare that in the name of Jesus. Declare it in the name of Jesus. You know, so many people have stood up, guys. We're going to see revival here. People who love Jesus with all of their hearts and love the people that they're going to go minister the power to, there's revival coming in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just want to pray for every person who stood today that they would know this is a new day. a glory to glory moment. A new anointing is coming on them. A new ability to be able to perceive and walk in authority. A new ability to receive your love and actually be the hands and feet and mouth that bring it. So opportunities are coming to you as you've stood today. Father says, I'm releasing opportunities into your path this week. Moments are going to come when you get face-to-face with someone in pain, face-to-face with someone who's struggling. And actually, you're going to hear my voice saying, I have compassion on this person. Who will go? Who will I send to bring that compassion? I send you. I send you. I send you. I send you, Sid. I send you, Becky. I send you, Ingrid. I send you, Warren. I send you, Mike. I send you, Audrey. I send you, Scott. I send you, Paul. I send you, Andy. I send you, Bryn. I send you. I send you. I send you. With all my authority, the whole authority of heaven backing you up to bless, to bind up, to heal, to set free, to glorify my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, fill us again with your Spirit right now, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit. Confirm the words in our hearts. Help us to walk out of this place, transform people. And whatever power we've walked in, whatever, however much love we've walked in up to this day, Lord God, let us go out and walk in greater power, in greater love, in your name. Amen.